So let's take a look here, boys and girls. Let's just check in here. Let's just lock in, okay? Everyone, just pay attention here. I won't be able to do this entire recording in one sitting, and I just want to be honest about that. So you will at some point definitely be aware that things have changed. But the fun part, the mystery about this episode will be when it happens. I will not announce it. I will not inform you. I will not break it down for you. I will not be your delivery man. I will not be the messenger that you shoot, because you're not aware and you're not plugged in and you're not conscious enough to understand the situation. Okay, that's a very dramatic way of saying I don't have a ton of time as of the start of this recording, but I will have more time later, okay? But this recording has started, and at some point I will stop, and the rest of this will be done a different time. Now, most professional podcasters might not tell you that, and they might just do it without making a scene about it, but you are listening to an amateur. Guys, there is so much to catch up on here. We're just going to jump right into it. Between the last episode of this podcast and today's episode, there has been so much going on. It is bonkers, okay? There has been, I think in the last episode I talked about my parents visiting. You know, I don't even know, I don't think that the last episode talked about my brother visiting, did it? I'm not sure. I don't remember. My brain is trash, technically. Medically speaking, my brain is garbage. For those who might not know, or if I didn't bring it up at all, in the last, between the last recording of this podcast and the current recording now, not only did my parents visit, which was a planned visit, which was very nice, but my brother, my lovely, beautiful, handsome, talented, admirable, respectable brother also paid a visit, and it was just a spectacular time. I love when somebody visits me and they have an appreciation for my game room. I'm very blessed and you know, lucky and appreciative and grateful of the fact that I have a room in my living space that is, I don't like the term man cave. I feel like man cave is a very 90s term. It's very like Kevin James coded. It's very, you know, it's very Kevin James. It's very Adam Sandler. It's very Tim Allen. It's like this space where like, no chicks allowed, okay? I'm in my man cave. I got a beer, you know, I've got a fridge full of like, you know, Coronas, I got a fridge full of Michelob Ultras, no chicks allowed. I got like deer antlers on the walls. That's not how I view this space, because sometimes I also work in there. I feel like it's a very cozy space. It's a space where like, It's a dim colored, you know, little area. For those, for example, for those who want to see what that space looks like, you can go to the Linktree link in this episode's show notes and look at the very fun podcast we had a few weeks ago with Martin Rezit, the first nationally recognized water sommelier. He's a German guy in the States, blah, blah, blah. Check out the episode. And we recorded that in my sort of special game room. I like this room. It's a cozy room. Sometimes it's my relaxation room. Sometimes it's my work room. I tend to, when I just have emails to answer to or things to write down or, you know, if I'm working on my live show and I have to just do a lot of typing and editing, I tend to work in this room, actually, because it brings me peace and comfort and it like a calm sensation. It's just like, this is my space, right? As opposed to my studio where I am now, which is where I always record my podcast or record the special live TikTok events and things like that. But I have been, that room has been called a man cave. And I don't know, you know, it's innocent enough, but something about the term man cave feels so like I have some, you know, thick line of chalk or tape outside the door that says, you know, no chicks allowed. You know, this is my little space of like, nobody can come in here unless they know the password. And when really the fact is, it's just a dark room with LEDs and, you know, nice artwork on the wall, fun movie posters. And is usually only visited by family or friends, but it's just a cozy space. And yeah, basically, since my parents were here, I had my brother here, and that was a very cool visit, very fun. He had an insane appreciation for this room. I think he also, you know, it reminded me that although I never felt that he and I don't have things in common, it reminded me of the things in a weird way that we do have in common, if that makes sense. Like, it refreshed my feeling, or it refreshed my like memory bank of like, oh yeah, you like that too, right? Of course. It's funny when you moved away, when you move away, you live abroad. Sometimes you forget what, I guess it's more specific with family, but you forget what people care about or have interest in, not care about, I guess, but, you know, with your family, sometimes when you live far away, you have like a relationship to them in your mind that's not the same as how it would be if you live next door. I think that's a good way to say it. If you live next door or down the street from your family, you have a very different understanding of their day-to-day interests than you do if you live far away. 'Cause when you live far away, you get these like summarizations of their interests or things they've done. You know, my mom will, you know, send me regular updates. Like, my mom knows the movies I want to see. Most of them, I think, I don't send her lists or something, but like, you know, she'll say, oh, you know, I know Jordan loves checking out whatever M. Night Shyamalan is going to do, you know, which is true. And whenever M. Night Shyamalan comes out with something new, which seems to be pretty often these days, I will get a very sweet text from my mom that says, oh, hey, you know, we saw the new M. Night Shyamalan movie, which in this case is like Trap, this Josh Hartnett thriller. And, you know, it's like this different relationship to how it might be between her and my brother, which, although I am extremely grateful and completely satisfied by our interaction style, you know, like a few text messages every couple of days, we're in, you know, pretty consistent contact. I'm very happy with that. I would be concerned if I didn't hear from her on the level in which I hear from her, which I think increased once I moved, which, you know, as sad as it is to be far away from her, it makes me happy that we contact each other more. But it is a very different relationship, I imagine, from like my brother or how it might have been had we all stayed in Louisiana and I would have lived like, you know, 45 minutes away from her, and the expectations or the context of how we talk about our, you know, social interactions with other people and the things that we're going through on a day-to-day basis would be much more, it'd be very different, you know? So I guess what I mean to say through all that is, let me just start over here. So I haven't I feel like I haven't spoken alone into a microphone in a while, even though it was just a week ago, but it feels like months ago. But I had this, you know, great experience with them visiting, and then my brother visited, and it was just this really special occasion where he appreciated, you know, the game room, and we had like a great time there, sort of appreciating. It was a really special time to appreciate. Sorry, I keep saying appreciate. It was a really special opportunity to see a side of my brother that I haven't seen since I was a kid. And that's very cool because not only when you get older do you see less of the child in yourself, you see less of the child in the people that you grew up with, which sucks. It's bittersweet because, you know, some things shouldn't stay as they were when you're kids, but everyone hates to get older. Everybody hates that. So it was a beautiful opportunity to show him, like, hey, this is my space. And for him to share with me, my brother didn't know that I had a PlayStation. He didn't know I had a PS5 at all. And to show him this room and say, oh, you know, here's like this movie I worked on, and here's these posters I love, and here's like my hangout space. And for him to go, whoa, 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 whoa. You have a PS5? And I was like, yeah, of course, for sure. I love gaming. And for him to go, like, you could see it in his eyes, like, oh. And then you could see this like new door opening for him, where maybe that had been something he had been interested in wanting to talk about with somebody, but maybe in his day to day just didn't have the chance or the opportunity or the safe space in a way, you know, to like just divulge these nerdy interests, which I am all about. But he opened up and was like, yo. He didn't say yo, but I said yo, and I'm not really sure why. He said, hey, I've been thinking about getting, you know, a PlayStation. Oh, what games do you have? And I was like, oh, I love this. I love when someone shows interest in this, because this is like my alone time. This is my zone. This is my Jordan appreciation universe, you know, in this room. This is like the TV I have just for this. And like to go through, okay, well, okay, I love this game, you know, so there's a great two-player game that we could do on the Nintendo Switch, you know, and when we play, you know, this game, oh, you know, my friend Moritz, he always picks this character, and it's so funny, and he's such a tough player, and then, oh, we have this game, oh, and, you know, Efi plays this one, and she's really good at this kind of thing, and, oh, you know, on the PlayStation, you know, off of the Switch, we had this game, and, oh, you know, this game, I love playing, you know, survival horror, you know, action, thriller, puzzle kind of games, and, you know, getting through all these things like, oh, Resident Evil, and, you know, getting into the new Silent Hill reboot and all these nerdy things that probably most of the people listening have no interest in. But it was such a special opportunity for me to share these interests with my brother and to see this little candle get lit behind his eyes where you could tell, like, Oh, okay, yeah. I like that. Let's do that. And we ended up playing so many video games together, and it immediately placed me back in my old Kossuth, Mississippi home, my childhood home, on the second floor, or for the Germans, the first floor, in his bedroom, on the carpeted floor, sitting in front of a bulbed screen black TV, with our old Nintendo 64 plugged in, and us playing something like Cruisin' USA. Ah, we played a good amount of games together. Of course, there's always like Mario Kart, Ultimate Chicken Horse. And then, you know, taking turns on single player games, and it was just like, but you like this too, oh, I like this so much too. And it was just a great sort of bonding thing that you know, when you live away from each other, you just don't get the chance to do that, you know. And when I go to his house, I knew he had a Nintendo Switch, But we haven't played together. I don't know if he knew that I had, you know, that much interest in gaming, but since the pandemic, especially, which, you know, the pandemic is when I turned 30, that was when this sort of like nostalgic reconnection to that world really took off. You know, I got more into watching online Twitch streamers and connecting with gamer YouTubers, and you know, that became like my main entertainment. Like I follow a lot of gamer TikTokers and things like that, just, you know, watching people play games that I enjoy, and if I play a game that I love, then interacting and commenting and talking with people online who I may or may not have met before, who have a connection to that game as well, or, you know, whatever it is. And it was so cool to have that with my brother, because I didn't really expect it at all, but it was also just a beautiful bonding time, because we only had like 3 days. He surprised me completely. I had no idea he was showing up just a day after my parents left. And it was a magical sort of like melting experience of just love. And I cried into his shoulder, and then I felt so embarrassed. You know, I don't feel embarrassed about it now. So don't, you know, nobody write me and say, don't feel embarrassed. I don't, you know, in the moment I did, but I don't now, because, you know, you see this guy and I just exploded. Imagine, you know, you're like one of the top two favorite people in your entire universe shows up randomly at your door with no warning. I exploded. And I loved it so much. And my poor mother, it was so hard for her to keep a secret. She just, you know, I think I wasn't even supposed to know that he was doing work in London, but I knew that for a while. But I never even slightly considered that that would lead to him coming to Munich at all. I mean, I never would have, I didn't even like, I never would have thought that, ever. And I never would have added that pressure to his schedule. My brother is like the one of the busiest people I've ever known. And I knew he was going to work in London. I guess my mom told me that a long time ago. But, you know, if that's all she told me, then she's fine and good. Like, that's okay. Because I never, ever in a million years would have thought, oh, he's in London. Maybe he's going to surprise me. I was under the impression like, okay, he's got like 3-4 days in London. Awesome. Maybe we can do a phone call with him since he's just 1 hour difference in time. And everyone just being like, yeah, that'd be cool. We should contact him. But because my parents were staying with me, and of course, you know, home life and work and stuff is already chaotic as it is, I didn't even call him, because I just forgot. I just lost track of time, you know? And then they left. And then my brother shows up. And it was amazing. So I have to give, you know, a shout out to my mom for holding on to the secret as best as she could. Maybe she spoiled the London part, but it didn't ruin the surprise whatsoever. And shout out to my brother, Bruce, who absolutely made those, you know, 3-4 days, 3.5 days, just like magical, just so magical. And yeah, now we have a lot of things to talk about, because we not only, so this was like the busiest last few weeks, because it was like I was on holiday in Italy, and then my parents showed up, or they, you know, they came, that was planned, showed up sounds like it wasn't planned, they came, and that was like 10 days with everybody. And then a day after they left, my brother showed up randomly. And then the day after he left, I was scheduled to go to Cologne to act in my very first sort of, I mean, at least for one episode, I would say like a semi leading role. Like I was like a supporting, no, not lead. I was the most important supporting role for this one episode. And it is crazy. Like, I have to talk about this. I've been excited to talk about this. And the good thing is, as of this recording, there has already been a news article released on a few different German websites, like entertainment sites and media sites, about the show coming, which is good because now I can tell you officially that the title of the show in German is Mädchen für alles. Mädchen für alles, which is girl. I mean, it's like girl for everything. I have heard rumors through the grapevine that the title might change before widespread distribution, but doesn't affect my part, so I don't really care. But just so you know, it might not be the final title. The network is ZDF, and just like how NBC has Peacock, ZDF has Neo. So ZDF Neo is doing the show. And it's a great cast. The main ensemble is five people. It's two men and three women. I was very excited to look through the cast list when I officially got hired for the show because, first off, it's nice to kind of go through the cast and get a good glimpse at the people that you might have the chance to interact with in your short time, you know, participating in the program, but also it's cool to see if you recognize them from other things. And what's really cool is that one of the main characters, the character's name is Raphael, and the actor's name is, forgive me, it's either Ben Philippe, or probably since it's Europe, Ben Felipe. But he's kind of one of those guys who is a little too pretty. Now, I doubt he'll ever hear this, but I'm going to explain myself just in case he does. So what I mean by that is, you know, you see somebody and you go, that's a ridiculously pretty man. And part of you worries that they won't be cool. I guess it's the same for anybody. Like if you interact with, like if I were to meet someone like, you know, not to compare Ben to these names necessarily, but like if I were to meet Brad Pitt, or Timothy Chalamet, or, you know, who's that guy? Jacob Elordi, or whatever. Like, when you meet, like, just a very pretty person, especially in my experience with men, it can be the case that they are very much not cool. That they are hyper aware of how pretty they are and negligent of their privilege and perhaps not grateful to be in the positions that they are. Now, it can definitely be the same for women. I've met plenty of women who are too aware of how perfect looking they are, negligent of the privilege they have because of that fact, and aren't so cool to be around. But I was pleasantly surprised when I got to meet the cast. And just to finish that thought, get to meet Ben and him being super cool, super, super, super cool, super nice, very open with me and immediately remembering, you know, my face and my name and like interacting with me in a very casual, cool way. Like, you know, if you do hear this, Ben, like, shout out to you. You left your mark on me, man, because it's just, you were so nice. So I really appreciate that. I'll give a little... I don't know the details behind everybody's career here, but basically, I went the day after my brother left. I went to Cologne, and that first full day on the set was to just meet the cast and to find my character's costume. So I spent like 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours, with the costume department going through different shirts and undershirts and shoes and pants and different sort of things like hat, no hat, this hat, that hat, I don't know. And it was really cool to eventually find some things that I really agreed with the costume designer. Moni was the main costume designer that I worked with. She was an Italian woman and she was so kind. And I really like this thing with people. Maybe you guys know what I mean when I say this, but like you meet somebody new and perhaps it's a professional environment, right? But within the context of that environment, you can tell by just looking at the eyes of the person you're talking to that they're actually really listening. That might sound very absurd. It might sound too abstract. But I think a lot of people will get what I mean by that. And especially when you're a minor position, like if you think about it in any other department, like it could be like an accounting firm, you know, you have one person coming in for a 3-day addition to the bigger project that the entire team is working on. It's nice to immediately feel accepted and respected, which is a big thing for me. I go into these kinds of things, not that I've done a lot of this, but I go into, you know, jobs like this with a ton of insecurity. I don't immediately show it. Like, I'm not begging for people to build me up or to, you know, my interaction is more positive and outgoing than I might, you know, usually be, because I'm trying to combat this insecurity. I want people to laugh and smile and have fun with me. And, you know, that tends to be a tool that I use to kind of smooth over the awkwardness of just meeting people for a short time. It tends to be a successful method that I've used for a long time. But when I meet someone new, it can be that there's this awkwardness and maybe even the assumption through them that it doesn't really matter to be not nice, but there's this sometimes this behavior that comes out of people you meet where they say, well, you know, it's hard to describe it, but like you can kind of tell through their interaction that they in their heads have decided that you're not that important enough to really spend time getting to know. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It doesn't mean that they're not cool generally, but I pick up on that stuff very quickly. And excuse me. I was pleasantly surprised to meet this cast and not have that feeling for a single one of them. You know, like I was saying at the start of that description, Ben, you know, I had seen him before on this, what's the network? Join. Join is a German streaming service which has, you know, movies and shows from around the world and stuff, whatever. And one of their earliest original programming, one of their earliest original shows was a show, on Join was a show called Stichtag. And, you know, basically, long story short, Efi was a writer on this show, and I had been brought in to work on some music for this show. And through that process, I met, who is now a very good friend, a man named Giovanni, who ended up becoming the lead composer for that show. And yeah, so she had written some episodes, then I had been suggested about doing some music and then made some friends through that project. I ended up not doing much music, but just a couple of different assisted things to Giovanni on that. And in all honesty, was kind of glad in the end that it wasn't me, because it sounded like, oh shit, ton of work, without, you know, appropriate budgeting. But anyway, Ben was one of those actors, and he also went on after that to do a show on Netflix, which is very cool. So seems like he's on his way. And when I went to that first makeup costume cast day before my own shooting, I met the you know, the core cast and got to meet him, and he was just so nice. And like I told him, hey, you know, I worked on Stichtag, and I've seen your face so much from this project, and so cool to be able to work, you know, on a project. You know, I don't have any scenes with him, but it was really cool to like just be able to be a part of something that he's acting on. And he was so kind and so nice. And actually, we shared a trailer. He left the day that I signed on, or like he left his trailer for a scheduled break the day that I started. That makes more sense. So I had the trailer to myself, except for like 1 hour that first day where we both had stuff in the same room. So you had like the Raphael character name and the Baxter character name on the same door. And we made some jokes. And, you know, now we've been texting a little bit and he was just so cool. So I'm going to stop jerking off this guy that you don't know anymore and keep moving on. There was another guy. The other guy whom I luckily got to see do some really funny acting on that show the first day. I feel very embarrassed in this moment that I don't know his real name. I'm going to have to come back to that. Let me see if it pops up at all anywhere on this website. I'm not sure. I don't think they have any of the actors' names on this article, which is kind of strange. Anyway, older gentleman, again, very nice. He's got a reputation for having been on a very successful German show called, in German, it's called Türkisch für Anfänger, Turkish for beginners, and that was a big hit. So, older gentleman, probably, hard to say if he's 60, I'd say he's somewhere in his 50s, but wow, amazing to watch him. And yeah, the main woman that I got to work with directly, who I got to know the most, is an actress named Tamara. Her character's name is Millie. Millie is like the main receptionist at this hotel that the show takes place in. And it was just amazing to get to see her work and to be a part of this project with her, because she was so supportive and so sensitive to me and really sweet and nice. And then there was one more. The actress's name is Stella, but I forgot her character's name. But yeah, basically it was like, I went there, I did the makeup costume day, I met the people. It was really lovely. Got put up in a nice hotel, which is always cool. And then the next day I shot my first scenes. And the funny thing was, you know, the whole first day and most of the second day, I shot everything alone. I'm not going to say too much about anything, but in the vaguest context, my character is a guest at this hotel. And so, of course, a lot of it is what I'm doing or what my character is experiencing in his hotel room. So I shot a lot of things alone, which is a lot of pressure when you haven't acted in a long time and you want to do a good job. And you're there with people who have good reputations and it's for a major network and who are very good because you got to see them on the first day you arrived. And you're trying to give the impression that you know what you're doing, but on the inside you're exploding. And then when something doesn't work, you want to kill yourself, but then you repeat it again and then you do it a slightly different way and then they're really happy and then you think, oh, I'm supposed to do this. Very different from me making a video in my studio or doing this podcast or doing my live comedy. And those situations, I'm completely in control, and it's very different. In those things, especially shooting alone as the only person being filmed, I think a lot of people who don't work in the industry tend to forget that if you are being filmed alone, there are still easily, I mean, minimum 15 to 20 people standing around you, doing their own jobs, of course. Like, it's not as if, you know, you have to kind of remind yourself that, like, they're distracted doing their own job. But still, there's like 15 to 20 people in a like extremely quiet room, like where you could literally hear a pin drop, watching what you do. And that is something I am familiar with, but still, you know, on a professional scale, makes you crazy, you know, the first couple of hours. Like, you're standing there and you have, like, you know, I'm not going to list all the positions on a set. That's annoying. But, like, you have all these people doing all these different things. You have costume people. You have, you know, management style positions, sound people. There's people running all the camera stuff. It's a huge amount of people. And then at the very, very last little second before you're supposed to start, you have this, like, roll call, you know, of like, okay, sound is rolling, camera's rolling, this is set, the set piece is ready, this da 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 da, like a big roll call of like everything is in its place now, and the last thing that has to be in its place is you. So you're standing there in this position that you can't move from, and you want to be as natural and interesting, you know, but as natural as possible, doing something you've done your whole life, like open a door, walk a few feet, put something down, sit on a bed, you know, something you've done a gazillion times, but because you have to do it, like you have to stop at this line and you have to look at this part of the wall exactly, so the focus is on your face in the right way with the way that the camera is set up on this rig, and you have to sit down exactly at this point in this place, which is uncomfortable for your back, so your leg is a little bit off the ground, which is like using all the muscles in your lower back to lift your leg so that you're sitting in the right way so the camera captures you, but your face can't show that. Your face has to show joy or sadness or despair or, you know, anger or tension or whatever it is. And then like you have to make sure that everything's in, you know, continuous with the next scene. And if something goes wrong, then in my case, I, you know, deeply blame myself. And then, of course, there's some times where you think you did everything right, and they said they have to do it again, and then you get insecure, and then the director comes up to you and he says, you did great, you were awesome, I love that, but it was just our fault. We didn't move the camera at the right time as you, and we lost focus, or we did something wrong. And then you're like, damn it, I did it perfect, but you didn't get it, now I have to do it again and try and make it as perfect as I apparently did it, you know, for the scene. And it's just like, oh, it is, I would never in a good state of mind stand here and say that I think acting is, I would never in my right mind ever stand here and be like, you know, it's just like a tough job. It's not, but you have to be able to. It's like you have to paint a beautiful portrait. And normally in real life, when you're painting a portrait, you have an entire, 60 color diverse oil set at home, right? Let's say you're painting a beautiful picture at home. And, or in real life, you can go to a store, you can borrow or buy like an endless assortment of these different variations of color, and you can paint it in your own time exactly how you imagine it. But acting on TV, I mean, again, limited experience, so probably the pros don't see it this way, but in my experience, it's like, okay, you know how in real life you paint this beautiful picture and you can take all the time in the world with all the colors that you're at your disposal? Now you're gonna be in this different fake room where the walls aren't real and there's no ceiling, there's just lights above you, and this isn't a real bed, but it's just like sharp metal frames with cardboard boxes or whatever, and you're gonna paint exactly the same kind of beautiful, realistic picture you would paint at home, except you have 30 seconds and you have three colors, you know? And you're like, oh, okay, well, let me think about that. All right. And they're like, okay, enough thinking. Sound is rolling. Camera's rolling. Let's go. And you're like, oh my God, the money they are spending on this right now. I cannot waste time, you know? And that leads into like how much you have to prepare before the cameras are even rolling. But again, like, I'm only able to really say this now because the article's just popped out about this, and I can't say anything about any more detail about what I'm doing in the show because it's not out yet. And I don't know if I've already said too much, probably not, because I'm looking at the article right now, but let me just tell you what it says. Basically, that was my experience in a very vague nutshell, but in the same vein as when Moritz's movie September 5 hits cinemas in a couple of months, less than 2 months now, we're going to have him on the show and we can talk about every single thing. The same was when this comes out, we can really break it down. So this article from dwdl.de says, in this hotel, ZDF, which is the network, recently built up a perhaps comparatively small but very loyal fan base when it was announced that the series would be... Oh, no, this is a different show. Hold on. I mean, this is translated, so it's not exactly correct. Okay, there was a different show that was canceled. People liked it. There's a new hotel series that will soon appear in the ZDF Media Library. Network Movie, which is the production company, is currently filming Mädchen für Alles, which they say, in parentheses, is a working title. A new workplace comedy set in a hotel that will have its linear home on ZDF Neo, the streaming platform. The series is being filmed in Cologne, but will take place in a small hotel in Munich's train station district. The hotel name is probably an allusion to Sturm der Liebe. I have to translate exactly what that means. There, the hotel that houses most of the stories is known to be called Fürstenhof, and in Mädchen für Alles, the Prinzenhof is the center of the stories. So just so you guys pick up on this who aren't German speakers, which apparently I'm not at this moment, it's basically called Hotel Prince, P-R-I-N-Z, which is pretty cool. Each episode tells the story of a night shift of the hotel crew until dawn. So you think about like an ensemble comedy in the workplace, like, you know, The Office always took place in the office in that 9-to-5 realm, or like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you know, in this, you know, mainly taking place in like one or two rooms, but then, you know, the storylines branch out. Each episode tells the story of a night shift of the hotel crew until dawn. I will say, just before I continue, I know that the writer who got me the job, Melina, I know that her main inspiration, her favorite show and her main inspiration for this show is 30 Rock. So if you've seen 30 Rock and how it works within that space, you know, a couple of times storylines will start in Tina Fey's apartment or on the streets of New York or whatever, but the main story of the entire show for like 9 seasons or whatever it was is inside 30 Rock, 30 Rockefeller Plaza. So each episode tells the story of a night shift of the hotel crew till dawn. At 3 a.m, bedless guests are washed up at the concierge Charles's reception. Charles is a character whose very special requests make the team sweat. For many characters of the night, the hotel bar is the emotional holding camp. Again, this is translated online. It's not the exact phrasing. It is the place of work of the bartender Raphael, the pretty guy, Ben, who, with his unwavering good humor, can find something good in even the most bizarre and darkest night. In front of the camera are Tamara Romera Guinness, so that's the actress who I worked opposite, Tamara Romera Guinness, and she has two Spanish parents, and she's grown up in Germany. Stella Goritsky, so Stella was the other actress I got to meet, thankfully, but also Adnan Moral. Oh, that's the guy from Turkish for Anfänger. Adnan Moral. Ben Felipe, pretty guy. And Mariananda Shemp is the other, the missing piece of that ensemble cast. Yeah. So, very cool. Very nice. It says the 8-part comedy series. Oh, it's only 8 episodes. I thought it was more. The 8-part comedy series is being filmed based on scripts by Melina Natalie. Hello, hello, hello. Idea and head writer. So she's the creator and the head writer. Oh, right. Julian Adaputra Witt. Julian is a good friend. And for those who have been listening and paying attention, he is one of the main 3 people, including me, who is like the creator of Prince of Bavaria, the show based on my life that we're trying to get sold right now. So Julian, I forgot. Yes, of course. He had a huge part in this. And Sharian. Oh, man. I always say this wrong. Sherry Osman. But it's like Sherry Osman. I know her. She's very nice. All scenes are expected to be in the can by the beginning of November. So yeah, it's a sitcom. It's being shot in a really cool, very beautiful set in a sound studio, handcrafted in Cologne. I did a makeup costume cast meeting day. We took a lot of photos. My first day was shooting entirely alone for a long time, which felt weird. But then in the evening, I got to meet Tamara and Stella and Stella's husband and get to, you know, kind of, you know, just build a little camaraderie between your coworkers. The next day, shot again a lot of stuff alone, and then ended the day by working on a few scenes with Tamara, the lead actress. And I cannot express enough how sensitive and understandable and careful she was with me once she realized that I wasn't just like oozing confidence in the field. I think there's going to be parts of this that I just can't watch because my memory of them was so bad. But that's just part of the game. You know, she was so kind. She's a very well, well-studied, but also like just a well-versed actress. And she's so natural and organic in what she does. And she's very in touch with what she's doing. And on those last scenes together, I started getting very, very insecure, questioning myself a lot. You know, the pressure's on. You have all these people watching, and you're working opposite someone that you can just tell immediately is much better at this than you. And, you know, maybe with like 5 more years of training and rehearsals and classes, I could potentially be somewhere on that level. I don't know. But when you step in there as like a fresh little TikTok baby, and then you're working opposite someone who's obviously a professional, you just get awkward. And she was so careful with me, and like, you know, put her hand on top of mine at one point and was like, please don't worry, you know, you're for someone like you who's just coming into this, you know, off of what you're known for, you're just like stepping into this, you're doing incredible. And it just made me feel really, 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 really good and safe, you know, like I felt very, yeah, safe is the right word. But she, yeah, was very, very nice. The whole cast was, again, very, very nice. The crew, the director, Matthias, everybody that I had a chance to work with. So that was really, really fun. Did that for a few days, exactly as I said before, and then I came back home. A few things coming up. So right now is Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest is popping off here in Deutschland. It's going to keep going on through, let me check here. Let me just see. I think it's going to go through October 6th. Yeah. So it started on the 21st of September, like a kind of like a opening day. And then the cool thing was, the really funny thing was, so I had just come back from Cologne on the 21st. I came back. I got up at like 5 in the morning, took the earliest possible train, direct train from Cologne to Munich, which is like 4.5 hours, slept the whole way, got to Munich, went to Oktoberfest for a little while, which was stressful and exhausting, and it was hot, and it was too much to do it like the same day. But I was invited a few weeks before that to go and be a part of the Oktoberfest opening ceremony parade, which was the next day. So the day after I got back from Cologne, and it was like, you know, get up in the morning, think about, you know, what to wear. I was allowed to wear whatever I wanted, but I had to put on like a specific jacket to fit in with the crew. And if anybody's ever been to like a professional parade outside of like a high school's graduation parade or like a high school football game parade, anyone who's been to like a citywide parade before basically gets the idea. You know, there's like there's balances of like dancing crews with, you know, brass bands that play live, and there's clubs, like there's different sorts of clubs in Munich and in Bavaria that, you know, people who do like target shooting and people who do dance stuff and whatever. And it's mixed in with like corporations and companies and people who like shareholder and blah, 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 blah. So it's kind of like if you've ever seen a single parade in your life, out like just the next level above a high school football game parade, like a homecoming parade, just above that, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I had the privilege and honor this year of being a part of the Oktoberfest opening ceremony parade, which is really crazy. It's seen by thousands of people. It's televised. So Efe's brother's wife, Julia, just happened to say, hey, there's a free spot. And, you know, Jordan, you know, I know it's last minute, but if you'd want to be a part of this, you could join us. She works for, this might sound strange, but she works for Circus Krone, which, and, you know, for the Germans, Circus Krone. Circus Krone is like an extremely popular, successful circus. It's also a venue where, you know, successful, you know, big musicians play. It's like a big arena venue place where they, it's the circus also, but they, the building is also used for bands and stuff. Anyway, she works for them, and they had I would say float, but it's not a float. It wasn't a truck pulling a flatbed with like this thing that I'm used to from the South. It was an old-fashioned horse carriage that was built in 1935. So you're sitting on this old wooden carriage. You can only get off or get on from one little access point at the very start. So you were like, please, God, tell me I don't have to pee, which thank God I didn't. And we were towards the very, very, very end of the parade, but it was amazing. You got to sit there. I met some nice people. It took a few hours. My right arm was very, very tired from waving the whole time. But, you know, we got on TV, and I think the biggest privilege for me, the greatest, the sweetest thing about doing that was the opportunity to, we rode through the entire city, like the most populated, touristic, ancient, you know, incredible parts of all of Munich on this horse carriage in a huge line of bands and you know, and dancers and clubs and stuff. And it was so cool to not only see all these parts of Munich that I've seen hundreds and hundreds of times in a new context, but also for every single inch of that journey to be layered with thousands of people just constantly waving and filming and smiling, and there's kids dancing and people, you know, EMTs running out and giving everybody water. And it was just so, like, so sweet and so communal. I miss that community feeling from New Orleans so much. And this was one of those rare chances, you know, outside of like a big drinking party, which is what Oktoberfest is. It was one of those rare things to like see the entire city come together. To see nationalities from like literally as many countries as you can think of all lined up side by side with kids on a date, you know, teenagers, 80-year-olds, people in the balconies in the apartments above the buildings, like fourth, fifth, sixth floor, waving down. And it was just so beautiful and so sweet. And I felt for the first time in a long time very connected to Munich. And I really was so grateful to be a part of that. And I had so many nice moments of people yelling out my name, you know, like going down the little float and just waving at people and smiling at the kids and whatever. And then someone be like, yo, Jordan Prince, how you doing? And then everybody on the float who I didn't know being like, yo, this guy's like, people know this guy. And that's such a fun feeling. You know, it's like you feel kind of like, yeah, you know, it's just another Monday. And there was even a point where like the, you know, it's a parade. So sometimes it stops because there's like a little delay and there's always stops in a parade. And I remember sitting there and we all took a little break, like, whew, our arms were tired from waving and it was a little hot. You know, we were in like direct sunlight for most of it, drinking some water. And then a guy randomly in the street beyond the ropes was like, Jordan Prince, hey man, how are you doing? I'm going to be there in Munich on October 20th. I can't wait for your show. And man, everybody heard it because it was just kind of a quiet, perfect little lull in the whole parade madness. And I smiled so big. I was like, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for that. I'm so happy that you enjoy everything and blah, 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 you know. And then it moved on and I looked back at the float and everybody in the float looked at me and they were looking at each other like, okay, all right, big dog. I see what you're doing here. It was really sweet. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm really happy that I got to do that. Guys, I'm going to wrap things up here. So the TV show looks like it'll be done filming in November. I guess it'll come out next year. I'm going to be talking about it when I can. September 5 comes out, I think November 9th or November 7th to theaters. And then, of course, we're going to have Moritz on. We're going to have a nice long episode where I can finally give him his surprise, as well as talk in detail about how it was to be on that set and working on this and everything that's been going on for him. He is projected in Variety.com and Hollywood Reporter and so many insanely successful large entertainment conglomerates. You know, his film is suggested they think it will be nominated for more than one Oscar, which is just insane. Even having one is insane, but, you know, like for screenplay and for Best Picture, it's just the film looks like it's going to be a real killer when everything is said and done. So I can't wait to get into that. Next week, I believe it's next week, I'm going to have a very successful German stand-up comedian who has been living in L.A. Don't worry, he's not a water sommelier. His name is Mario Adrian. He's an ex-supermodel, so he has all of the abs. And he's so beautiful that I think I might actually use it as an excuse to kill him and put on his skin. he's married. Don't worry, ladies. He's married. He's straight, but he plays with all these stereotypes. And he, by the miracle of God, is going to be here at Oktoberfest. We're going to do a lot of content together. We are going to make a podcast together, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very grateful that he is devoting some of his precious time to me. So look out for the Mario episode coming soon. I am planning also, for those who want to participate or engage with me on this, I am planning very much to do a Sober October. My tour starts officially October 16th. There's a lot of media and promotion coming soon for that. I'd like to, you know, except for friends who like already don't drink, if people want to contact me about that on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or TikTok or whatever, my email, the emails, the contact sheet is in the show notes. If you want to do Sober October with me, we can make a little community for that. We can work together to keep each other nice and healthy. And yeah, the tour is coming up, and the hot sauce ingredients are finalized, and we're working on the label right now. It's going to be so awesome. Thank you so very much for listening, guys. I love you so much. And all the info you might need to follow up on anything I talked about is in the show notes. And yeah, I hope you had fun. Rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz. And thank you so much, guys. I'll be back next week. Look out, baby. The Saints are coming through. And it's all over now.